What I'm trying to bring out is that everybody knows that which is good. There's nothing like this is where I am. I've said that thing again and again. If this is the way you are, it's not a good thing. Get up and learn the good culture. I always give that as an example. The first day I saw somebody give out a certain amount of money, I was a fourth year medical student. Fourth. I didn't know students could give that kind of money. I thought such only very rich people did such things. I don't like to say the amount because it was very small. That's compared to today. Even then, it wasn't so huge. But if you bear in mind that that could feed me for a few days as a student, that's a lot of money. But I remember what I told myself then. I said, people can give out money like this. Me too, I must. I started looking for the opportunity. No, I'm not joking about this. It was a young lady. She came to our room that day. And one brother was teasing her, picked her bag, opened it and took money from it. I said, yeah, I was just joking, return the money. And the girl said, no, you can have it. So are you serious? I said, yes, you can have it. Now, some people say her father is rich. Yes, some of these Lagos babes, maybe her father was very rich. I don't know. But all I know is that she gave her that amount of money and I didn't care how rich her father was. So human beings give out money like this. I too must give out money like this. So one day, one brother said, I want to buy a shirt too. And I just jumped up. He said, no, he said, yes, I'm believing God. I'm going to raise the amount of money. I want to buy a shirt. I just jumped up and gave him half of the money on the spot. And another friend of mine, he was there like, come, Banky, why did you give him that money? No, it was a lot of money to us. I said, I felt like giving it to him. No, he moved up and down. He thought. He said, no, explain. Explain what? I just dashed the man money. It's applying diligence, moral excellence. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I won't say, you know, I did have a friend who said, you know, no, not a friend. I reject that name. That guy is not my friend in Jesus' name. He's not my friend. All right? He's somebody I know, a distant acquaintance. He said, I know I'm not generous. In my mind, why are you lying? I'm not generous. It's for those who are not generous. It's not for rogues. You are a rogue. Your own not generousness is so terrible that between you and an armed robber, I don't know who I would choose as a friend. At least when I see the armed robber, I'm ready. But with you, I'm not generous. I feel like, how can you be lying like that? You are insulting people who are not generous. You are insulting beggars by saying you are not generous. But the point is that if you know you are not generous, why don't you wake up and do something about it? Again, maybe next day I'll talk about money again and teach people the practice of generosity. The easiest way to practice generosity is to set a percentage on your giving. You know what it means? You will decide, I don't mean 10%. You know me and 10%. If I have an issue with 10% right now, a personal matter. So I'm starting with 12.5. Amen? It's personal. It's personal. You can't bribe God with anything. You know I've been telling you. I don't want to serve God. You serve him. If you don't want to, it's your problem. As for me and my house, what did Joshua say? We will serve the Lord. Now, this is what I like to just teach young people. All right? Practice generosity. Just take a 12.5% of my income. I'm starting. Maybe I was born absolutely stingy, like a child. Right now, I have grown up still that bad. So I say 12.5% of whatever I get. I'm not saying I earn. I get. I give out. Now, you know what that does for you? Instantly. Now, what that does for you, that instantly, you are freed from the struggles of giving. What I mean is, I practiced like that before. What do I mean by freed from the struggles of giving? You know, when they're talking about somebody, your friend needs money, you don't have. It's fine. But at least, you've already cut out that amount, so you know it's not your own. Whether you give this guy, or give it in church, or give to somebody, or give to your father, or give to anybody, you know the money will go. It's a very nice way. Listen, I'm not talking about the matter of tithing and all of that now, but that was why God gave those commandments to the Israelites. It was to free them from the struggles with generosity. That is, it was not, am I generous? I'm not generous. All I need to know is that I'm obedient. So I've taken, he commanded them to go and confess. I have removed that which is sacred from my house. So, Baba God, you see, and so, I've given you your property. So, like I told one of my friends, I was so impressed by that statement. I said, children are brought up by laws. You don't explain to my son why I shouldn't come home late. You know the roads are dangerous. You know you won't see proper. That one's when you are growing. When you are a child, You are in here by 7. Why? Because I said so. That's all. That's the only reason to be here on time. It's adults we start reasoning with. Do you get my point? And that's why you teach children, you guide children also spiritually with laws. And that's why I give those principles. It's a good way to start. All right? I'm not talking about money now. I'm just giving it as an aside. That you learn a good culture. Please. Why am I saying this? Without these things, you can't see your entrance into the kingdom. You can't see it. It's what you can see. You get my point? That allows you to perform certain things in life. I told you, David did not go hoping that Goliath would die by one mysterious accident. The moment he saw Goliath, he had his battle plan. You know what he came to ask? He said, what will you give anybody that will smoke that guy? That was the question. This guy is harassing everybody. What is going to be done for whoever smokes him? And they said, he will marry the king's daughter. David said, that's not a bad one. All right. Where do I get my marching orders from? And everybody thought he was joking. No, I'm telling you again and again. Let me say it again. David was not wishing. David was not praying that God, oh, as I'm about to face Goliath, may he fall. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Return all his javelin to sender. No, there was nothing like that. David just looked at Goliath and he knew how he would kill Goliath. And this is what I'm explaining. Don't forget what I said earlier. Daniel did not pray to interpret dreams. Joseph did not pray to interpret dreams. Every dream that had the meaning, once those two guys heard those dreams, they knew the interpretation. And that's what God wants to bring all of us to also in life. Are you getting my point? That maybe I'm a businessman. They say, there is power problem in Nigeria, and instantly, I know what to do. Do you get my point? They say, after 9/11, the problem now is that people are not flying again. Instantly. Are you getting my point? Instantly, I will know what to do so that my own airline won't go under. And that's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, there are things nobody can teach you in any business school. No matter how hard you learn, you study, you can't learn them because they are things that only come from above. And that's what I'm explaining. Without these things, you can't see. You have all the visions, you will have all the dreams, you know what I mean? You have all the plans, there are things you deep inside your heart you want to achieve. You know? I've heard the word several times, middle age crisis. Life can be very wicked. You'll be frustrated because you have no control on what's happening to you. You have desires, you have dreams, they are not fulfilled. And that's what I'm preaching, so that you shouldn't get to that level. Those dreams and desires, there's what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. Wisdom for salvation that God wants you to have, so that you will, no, listen, I told you, life is not an accident. Things don't happen haphazardly. God set a course for your life. Do you get my point? Before you were born. So if you discover your path, do you get my point? If you discover the path that will lead into your own eternal kingdom, there is no devil on earth that can stop it. None, not one. Do you know why? It was built, the road was built to take you there. It's to find it as the issue. It's not will it work or will it not work. The reason why it works, all right, is not because you are smart, but because you discovered the road that was built to take you into something. And that's what I'm going to emphasize to Christians. Listen, nobody can teach you this. No, you can't go to school to learn it. You cannot even pray it out of the heart of God without being prepared. It's the preparation we are talking about. That's the supply of the right traits in your character. People think that sin is about God is angry with me. No, I told you something. Jesus gave the parable. There was a servant they told to look after a household. Because of his wickedness, that was why he entered into judgment. Because when the master came, he was so busy oppressing the other servants that what he was told to do, he didn't do it. That's what sin does to believers. This will be the path to your breakthrough, to your victory, to your eternal kingdom like we are talking about. But because of, for example, covetousness, wickedness, not being able to stand the prosperity of other people, you will choose another path. I am sorry to say this, but whether I'm sorry to say it or not, I will say it. I'm sorry. You know, I phoned a friend of mine yesterday. You were there, Gabriel, when I was talking. He said, this is the church I go to now. I said, who are you chasing? I told him, no, it was my classmate. I said, who are you chasing? Who's the witch against you? That you, I'm sorry to say this. You know, some people won't like it. The pastor isn't like, I will talk like that. That you have descended so low that that's the church you are now going to. That all you guys do is chase witches and enemies. I said, oh boy, find somewhere else to go. I told him straight. He said, you know, after coming from this church, he mentioned another church that's more terrible than that one. I said, you see, that's the problem. Because that's where he was going for a long time. And look, I said, this is what these people do. The other guy, those guys, you see, they have, that's the second one of my friends, they are confusing like that. These guys came out from there, they are confused about life. I told him straight, let me tell you something, I don't have time to analyze it. You will discover something. Wrong doctrines cripple your inheritance. Let me say that to you. Wrong doctrines, they cripple your ability to succeed. Believing that which is not right, all right, inhibits your progress. Why did I say this? I said that a lot of people who go to churches like my friends, in which all they are doing is praying against problems, against enemies. Listen, hear ye the word of the Lord. They are confused. And listen, they are not willing to put diligence into moral character. That's the problem. They are not willing to put diligence into the improvement of their moral character. They are not willing to put diligence into the improvement of their knowledge. That's what the problem is. If at this day and age, they are still naming a witch as being the cause of your problems, I am telling you, you are out of your mind. I don't believe, and that's not because I don't want to believe, but because I know it to be true, that any witch, any juju doctor, native doctor, whatever he is, can afflict a child of God. You are the one that's afflicting yourself. Look, what I'm telling you is very important. I used to tell my wife something. Say, if I see somebody who prays too much, I begin to suspect the person. That the person is lazy. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray, please. I think you should take prayer very serious. Amen? And mine is based on experience. There are people who will not, they won't agree. Settle down like this and go and hear the word taught. No. Invest money to buy a book that you will learn something from. No. Call all-night prayer meeting, they are champions. And do you know the irritating part? They feel spiritual. They feel very spiritual. Start saying, if you bring, my wife knows, if you bring that kind of vision near me, visions cooked in those kind of places, I don't listen to them. I don't. No, I'm sorry. I don't. Because I know people, a lot of places, I don't want to mention names because, it's not good. There are churches that operate familiar spirits now. There are preachers, that's their job. They go around with familiar spirits. What does the familiar spirit do? He just persuades you. What I mean by persuade you? Yes, as you were coming, you took a bike that had the rider had a red helmet and you wore a green one. Is that not so? And you are like, yeah. And then a red car almost jammed you people. And then the back man managed to weave out of the way. Yeah. And right now in your pocket, the 7,500 in the right pocket, the left pocket is exactly 12,250. Yes. If you're a fool, you think the guy is a man of God. Because he has told you what one lazy evil spirit that's peeping, just looking over your shoulder, has come to tell him. There are plenty. There are congregations that gather around visions. If you see one like that, hear ye the word of the Lord. Run. Once the man arrives, he enters into the spirit and starts seeing visions. Now just buy shoe. Waka come up for the place. No, really, it's crucial. Wrong doctrines. They look. I've seen men in bondage. I remember one man. I told the story before, and I was looking at him. I was feeling sorry for him. He attended one of these churches, and they delivered him. Listen to how the deliverer delivered him. They delivered him to the end that he could no longer sleep in the big duplex he was living in Surulere in Lagos. He was now sleeping on the pew in the church. Those kpako benches, you know what they call kpako? Mahogany. No cushion on top. The ones that were designed to last 200 years, if that church would survive that long. You know them? Those kind of ones that if they fall on you, you think it's an earthquake. May they not fall on you. A car jams you better than some of those chairs. It's Pentecostal that I use plastic chairs. That's what the man used to sleep on. He had money. When Nigeria was hard, he used to buy his cars only brand new. That was the amount of money he had. But they delivered him. And they said, this is your deliverance. He was now sleeping. And he was very happy. He was very happy. He used to feel good with himself. Of course, you know, those are recent deliverances. That the deliverance is still recent. After a while, the kpako will get to his body. He will start sprouting lumps all over his joints where he used to lie on the park. Then he will wake up and say, Pastor, and I pray another prayer. I need deliverance from this pew. Yes. I'm telling you, there are people. Look, that's what wrong doctrines do for you. And that's what they do to you. That's why you must supply what? You must apply diligence to supply knowledge to your moral excellence. Not only to do what is right, but to know what God is saying about your life. Can't dream anyhow dream for me right now, and I will be losing sleep over it. There are those, if madman does like that, does like this to them on the road, they will go and pray. A lunatic does like this on the road, and you're praying about it. So a friend of mine went to market together, and we're pricing stuff in one shop. And one woman sprinkled water. I said, bank, let us go. This one that they are beginning to sprinkle water, so. Water. Once it's not acid, I'm not shifting. I'm telling you. It's ignorance. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And people see this. If an owl flies over their head, or bats enter their house, they can't sleep again. I'm not joking about this. Bats have entered where I was staying before, and I said, oh, I need to sleep. I wanted to drive the bat. I said, man, I'm too sleepy. I went to lie down. I think I was on campus, or when I was a house officer. There are people that won't sleep again. Bat. The only problem I had with the bat was it didn't keep quiet. If it just stopped, you know, because he missed his way, so he's trying to go out. That was the reason why I finally got up and did something. But because, and I told you, when I was in secondary school, one bat entered our classroom where we were reading, me and my friends. I love those boys. They didn't even know the will of God like I know today. They saw a bat, they killed the bat, roasted it in the lamp we were using to eat and read. I'm not joking about it. And they ate it on the spot. I couldn't believe it. I still remember those boys. A bat, if it is a lot of confused so-called Christians today, the bat will be burnt with Holy Ghost fire. My friends just went after it. They said, yeah, block that, said, block that. They removed their shirts when in secondary school. They removed their shirts. Bah, bah, bah. Yeah, the bat couldn't see properly. We finally harvested the thing. Bam. Before my eyes, they removed the shade of the lantern. And you know that small fire? They'll break it in and put it inside. After some time, with the mouth. Those are people that are walking in the will of God. You remember the story I told you I read in Full Gospel Businessman's Voice? The man was a real witch doctor. A real one, not imaginary one. You know, there are problems that don't exist, that only in the minds of people. But this guy was a practicing one, not something that somebody told him. He was into it. And like I was describing with, I don't know what I was talking with a few days ago. I said Derek Prince, and there was Derek Prince. There's another white man who described John Gillick, who saw these witch doctors do things, so that it's not as if the guy is an African. That's why you think that they don't exist. And for clarification, that's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the superiority of the man whose life is hid with Christ in God. That's what I'm preaching. I'm not saying those things don't exist. They do. This man, I read the story a few years ago, Full Gospel Businessman's Voice. Anyway, he had issues with some people, and let me make a long story short. Along the line, he gave his life to Christ. And he returned home. And when the rivals heard he was back, they came to do a sacrifice to run him crazy. And that involved putting a black cock and some eggs at his door and all of that. And this guy, God ensured that he returned home flat broke. He woke up in the morning, there was no food. So he opened the door. What did he see? A black cock for sacrifice and eggs to run him mental. He lifted two hands to heaven, took the cock and did the will of God to it. You know, there are animals that lay down their lives for the brethren. That one laid down his life that morning for that guy's stomach. He fried all the eggs, ate the thing, and was happy. And thanked God, Lord, may more enemies show up. Why do I need to walk when I have enemies? You know that kind of thing. And then bring yam, and you know, like tomorrow, okay. So this one is for mental illness, all right? Bring the one for cancer tomorrow. Bring the one for premature death. For a whole month, I won't spend money on food. That's what knowledge does for you. Now, I told that man's story because it's not a man who thought the guys were fooling around. He knew what was going on. But by this time, he had a life that was superior. He that is from above is above all. He knew that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The man knew that. A friend of mine who went on campus, something like that happened. Everybody was running away from food that one young woman brought because they thought there was forget-me-not inside. The guy came, said, what did they happen? They told the story. He said, so all this rice and banana and fruits and all of that, to students, you know, you've not seen a hungrier set of people than students. I'm not abusing you if you're a student, but I know I was there too. Students are very hungry. At home, they may have food, but in school, they are always hungry. Students are always hungry. One day, this is just by the way, I went for a wedding on campus. So we took one brother's car and drove around. We were hungry, so we just stopped somewhere, bought bread, bought some things, and ate a bit of it in the car. So my friend, he was the student that is still that time. And I said, this bread we left here, now what are we going to do with it? He said, for campus. Waiting to go home to the bread. So just leave and there. We left the bread there and drove back to the church and packed. And I still remember Sylvester. Sylvester walked up to me. Said, Pastor Frankie, good afternoon. They said that bread is your own. I said, Sylvester, it is. He said, I said, go ahead. As he returned, some other brothers followed him. Shout. I remember very well. Sylvester is a big man now. If I see him, I'll tell him that story. Now, what have I said? This kind of abundance arrived, and students were drawing back because of bad doctrine, wrong knowledge. And the man that had understanding reached there. They told him the story. He said, is that all? Yes. He said, all right. He dragged the chair, sat down. Father, I thank you. You're the almighty great provider. Thank you for this abundant provision in the name of Jesus Christ. The guy tried to eat with three mouths. Unfortunately, he had only one. Because after a while, he said, John the Baptist was a light burning for a season. And you rejoiced in this light for that season. So once they saw the man begin to eat, all of them said, this is light. They began to rejoice in his light. If you wanted to drive them, all you needed to do was collapse more. They would disappear. Then you return and eat his food. Are you following what I'm going to explain? Now, these are obvious and like, these are great ones. Do you know, in businesses we do this, ignorance is driving us up and down? In life, do you know, there are those who can't marry. They heard that, this guy's father used to be a native doctor. The sister said, no, they can't marry him. I've seen things like that plenty. Because of a problem somebody's grandfather had. Let me tell you something. Look, Christianity, I've told you, the reason why we are not persecuted is because we don't obey God. If you obey God, persecution shall arise periodically. Because it's not possible to be in this world and not conflict with people. You will have conflict. They tell you that, you can't marry from that village. Everybody there is cursed. And I say, yes. You see, it's crucial. Because I told you, your life is a story. You know, your life is what? A story. God has brought you to this life to tell a story, to revert some principles in the hearts of people. And I told you, stop using common sense to explain things to people. Tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He said, yes, I know. He said, they are outcasts. Yes, I know. But there's a principle here. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. So that's what I'm operating by. Let me tell you, there are decisions you make, and with those decisions, you are denying Christ. You don't know. After, look, Christianity is not about, oh Lord, we just worship. Anybody can raise hand to just worship him. Any joker can raise hands to just worship. To lie down on the floor and roll and dirty your cloth is the cheapest way to impress God. I'm sorry to say this. Sometimes, those who make noise about, I gave this amount of money publicly, it's, you know, if you know me, I hear they look like. You have not, real giving you will do, you can't even talk about it. Who will Abraham testify to that I went to sacrifice my son? No, think about it. How will you tell people that I took a PhD certificate and bought it as a sign to God I'm changing the direction of my life? You know, you can't say it. You go fear. What I'm trying to say is that some of the things you say, when I want to worship God, I just lose everything. I just lie in the mud. That's so easy. That one is not hard. It's when your father, your mother, your uncles tell you, that girl, their village, their outcasts in the place, you can't marry from there. That's when you know whether you're worshiping. The one you're rolling on the floor. Suits are cheap. I can buy 20. God, you want suits for worship? No wahala. I'll buy one new one every service, dirty it and drop it there. Marry against everybody's will in obedience to God. Let's see whether you're really worshiping. That's real worship, bro. That's real worship. That's real worship. It's easy to be constantly stealing money and taking a part of it and giving. The real worship, forgo that source of income first. The one that you are using to, you know, soothe your conscience. Like, God, I know you said I should go to that area to go and do some serious work. But the money there is small. So this one I'm getting here, we'll share it. You know, you're poor, you're hungry. So, dear God, we'll share it. So forgive me of my disobedience. The Lord is good. I said what? The Lord is good. Now, what am I saying all of these things? This is how believers prosper. This is how they succeed. This is how fruit comes into their lives. All right? This is what happens. They wash away every obstruction. Naturally, you're a victor. Naturally, you're a winner. It comes out of you spontaneously. The assignment he gave you is apply all diligence. Did you hear that? Apply all diligence to remove all those obstructions. Let me emphasize on one other one today. Knowledge. Let me emphasize on that and summarize it there. Knowledge. Knowledge. You can't make it in life if you're not a, spiritually speaking now, bookworm. A lot of things people pray about all night. You wonder why they bother. If they called me out like in a text message, giving them the solution. Two scriptures, not three, not four. Some of the things people regard as very, very highly spiritual. I look at it and say, this is laziness. It's laziness. I went on a fast, dry for 3 days, that I may know the will of God. Saul fasting. You know what I mean by Saul fasting? Disobedient soul. Obey God constantly, alright, for the next 6 months. Make a culture of obedience to God, learning the word of God, forsake some things and go for the understanding of God. Then you won't need all these 3 days fast they are trying to use to impress somebody. Listen, I'm very difficult to impress. All the spiritual gymnastics. I'm very difficult to impress. Before I came this morning, I was fasting for the last 16 days. My own, that's your problem. I'm not. Look, listen. Is you, what is worrying you? You are the one that understands. You feel 16 days hungry. You on your own. It doesn't impress me. Before this anointing came upon me,